alluded to me is Jesus, the miracle. In the past week, I've been telling you about Jesus, the worker of miracles. But today, the message is Jesus, the miracle. And there are ever so many scriptures I want to read to you, and then talk about them individually and in relation to one another after I get through. So first of all, look in John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. You will note that some of these scriptures tell us about Christ, the scripture telling us about him, and then some of the scriptures I read to you will be Christ telling us with his own lips what the scriptures have told us about him. So, let's read the first few verses in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. Now, look at verse 14. In verse 1, we had, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you read of our Savior as the Word, you're reading about him as God. And now look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has prepared him. Now chapter 5. Verse 15. This man, he was purchased by the pool of Bethesda, has been healed by the Lord Jesus. And in verse 12, they asked him, who is the man that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Who is the man? And then look at verse 15. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. And so this caused the Jews persecuted Jesus because he did these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh even until now, and I work. For this caused, therefore, the Jews thought the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now chapter 8. Chapter 8. Verse 40. I want you to remember two things. I want to go into more detail later. But we had in John chapter 1 that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. God manifest in the flesh. God, man. Now, look at verse 40. The Savior says these words, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, that I heard from God.
This did not Abraham. Please notice, this is verse 14. The Word was made flesh. And the Savior says, I am a man who told you the truth. Now, look at verse 56. Our Savior says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. The Jews therefore said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now there is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Listen to this, at the beginning, the Word already was, he is the Eternal. And so that's what he says. He says, before Abraham was born, came into existence, I am. So he says, I'm God, the Eternal One. So in 1:40, we have John 1:14, and in John 8:58, we have John 1:1. Now, look at chapter 10. Chapter 10. John 10 and verse 31. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that you, being a man, maketh thyself God. Isn't that remarkable? You being a man, make yourself God. Now, I want to turn back to chapter 8. Chapter 8, because we're going to have some questions asked of our Lord, and some questions asked about our Lord. So in John chapter 8, look at verse 45. The message is Jesus, the miracle. We'll see as we go along. Verse 25. The Jews, they said therefore unto him, who are you? Jesus said unto them, altogether that which I've spoken unto you, or even that which I've also spoken unto you from the beginning. Everything he told them he was, he said, that is what I am. All claims that I've made are true, they are irrefutable, and I'm altogether what I told you I was from the beginning. Look at verse 53. Here is a question that Jesus is asked. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophet died, whom maketh thyself? Please note that in chapter 10, it's put this way. Why do you stone me? They said, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Look at that verse again now. Verse 53. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophet died, whom maketh thyself? And they think it through, and in chapter 10, they understand that he, being a man, made himself God. Now chapter 19. Chapter 19. These are all questions that are asked of our Lord, or are asked about our Lord. Chapter 19. Verse 7. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was the more afraid, and he entered to the praetorium again and said unto Jesus, Where do you come from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Now, look in Mark chapter 4. Turn to Mark Gospel, chapter 4. Verse 37. And there ariseth a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the boat, insomuch that the boat was now filling. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he awoke and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful? Have you not yet faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Notice, who is this? Some say, Who are you? Pilate says, Where do you come from? These are questions asked Jesus directly or asked concerning him. So those are all the verses that we shall read for now. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your Son, our Savior. Our God, let us know that from all that we sing about him at Christmas and all the pictures that we see, we think of him as simply a man. We are thankful for all the scriptures and words to say that tell us indeed he is a man, but that he's more than man. We are thankful that you told us who he is. Men looked at him and said, Where do you come from? Who are you? What manner of man are you? All of these questions were asked. And we are thankful, Father, that the scriptures give us answers to all these questions. Sometimes your Spirit gives them in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. At times, your Son gives them answers with his own lips. And so we thank you about these scriptures telling us that Jesus is the miracle. So help us to understand them, we pray. We thank you for the blessings of this past week, and we are thankful that we are here this morning, and let our ears be open for the word of God, and glorify your Son. We confess our sins. Be faithfully just to forgive his name, and glorify his name. In his name we pray. Amen. In the past week, remember, I've been taking up the miracles of Jesus, and I've taken them up in chronological order. The water, turned to wine, the nobleman's son, and so forth. And it was no controversy that Jesus performed miracles. But since we are getting near Christmas, I wanted to give it a different slant by showing you that Jesus was not only a performer of miracles, but that Jesus himself was a miracle. And I must give you the definition of what a miracle is that I've given you so many times for you to understand how Jesus is a miracle. A miracle is an event, a happening, a work that occurs that supersedes the laws of nature. I did not say contradict the laws of nature, but supersede the laws of nature. There are some things that are natural, as amazing as they may be, but they are natural. And there are some things that supersede the laws of nature. And a miracle, to be a miracle, has to be something that is beyond the power of man. it necessitates the power and wisdom of God. Because no man of himself has the power, has the wisdom to perform a miracle. But God at times imparts the man that power to perform miracles, but all miracles have their source in God. Because only God has the wisdom to know how to do it, and only God has the power to do it. So, think for a moment about the things in the Bible, and some of the things in the Bible are miracles, as well as some of the prophets performing miracles. Let me give you an example. When Adam was made of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, Adam was a miracle. When he made Eve out of a rib of Adam's side, Eve was a miracle. But when Adam knew his wife Eve and brought forth Cain and Abel, they were not miracles. That was natural. Anything that occurs in harmony with the laws of nature, after God had miraculously made our first parents, then all the children born after that were simply born naturally according to the laws of nature. Now this. The first two children, Cain and Abel, being born, that was natural. But there was a child named Isaac who was born of Abraham and Sarah, and Isaac was a miracle. Why? Because it was impossible for Abraham, 100 years of age, and Sarah, 90 years of age, to bring forth naturally a child. And so the power and wisdom of God intervened, and when Isaac was born, he was a miracle. And the same thing happened in the New Testament as well, when you have Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, being an old man, and his wife Elizabeth passed the time the way Sarah was past the time of life when they could have children. And Gabriel comes and he says, you are going to have a son. So when John the Baptist was born, John the Baptist was a miracle. The other children born around Zechariah and Elizabeth, their friends and relatives, all of their children weren't miracles. They were products of nature. But John the Baptist was a miracle. Now, in like manner, think for a moment, and you'll see that if we had 2 containers of wine, and one of them had come from grapes that had been grown, matured, crushed, and time allowed for that juice to become wine, then that was no miracle. That was something that was natural. But when the Lord Jesus in John chapter 2 had the water pot filled with water and then told the attendants, draw out now and take to the master of the feast. And when they threw them out and they had become wine, then that wine was a miracle. You see? Anything that occurs naturally is not a miracle, but if God intervenes, then what is produced, the effect, is a miracle. And I told you that a miracle is simply a putting forth of the power of God. And therefore, think now from all that I've told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Savior was made flesh and dwelt among us, he was not the son of Joseph and Mary, but he was the son of God and Mary. The angel, in his graciousness, told Mary how it was going to happen. He told her she was going to bring forth a son, and she said, how can this be? I know not a man. And he said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Lord Jesus' birth was not natural, but the Lord Jesus' birth was supernatural. And just as Isaac was a miracle, and just as John the Baptist was a miracle, so the Lord Jesus was a miracle, but in a way that no other human being could ever be a miracle. For this reason, God did a thing first in without a human father, causing Jesus to be conceived in the womb of Mary, but at the same time, when the enemies of Christ came and said to him, "We're going to stone you because you, being a man, make yourself God." That's true, in one sense. But the truth is just reversed. He, being God, made himself man. Now that's a miracle. That someone pretending to be God, making claims about himself, making himself God, that's no miracle. That's just presumption. That's a lie. But when God makes himself man, when the Word who was with God and was God becomes flesh and dwells among men, then he, being God, made himself man. And that is what occurred. God has only presently performed two miracles in bringing forth his creature. I told you about our first parent. First, Adam out of the dust of the ground. That was a miracle. And then Eve out of a rib from the side of Adam. That was a miracle. But all others, except John the Baptist, all others except Isaac, whom God has miraculously intervened, have been born in a natural way. But his son was born in a miraculous way, inasmuch as he had no father, human father. But the greatest miracle is this, that somehow God was made flesh and dwelt among us. God made flesh without ceasing to be God, and at the same time being perfect man. And that is the double miracle. A miracle like God had never performed before, and he shall never perform again. And this came from the lips of Christ himself. Listen. He is quoting in Hebrews a portion from the Old Testament. And he says concerning himself, "In sacrifice and offerings you had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, a body hast thou prepared me." Well, think. God, in the Old Testament, prepared a body for Adam. But the Lord Jesus says concerning his Father, "A body hast thou prepared me." And God has only personally ever prepared two bodies. The bodies of our parents, the two are one, and the body of our Savior. The others use human instrumentality. But when the Lord Jesus was consumed in the conceived in the womb of Mary, who is a human being that is used, but at the same time, somehow God unites man and divinity, and Jesus is a God man. And our Savior is a miracle, the same way that all the other miracles that he performed are miracles in this sense. If you were an attendant and you were present when you poured the water into the water pot, you saw it, and then you dipped into the water pot and took it out and it was wine, you saw it happen. But you had no possible way to explain how it happened. Inconceivable. Incomprehensible. when Bartimaeus had his blind eyes opened. All of those that were around and saw his eyes open, they saw it. It was impossible for them to explain it, because no man, even those who have seen a miracle, are able to explain the process, what went on, how this miracle was brought to pass. And in like manner, how God became flesh, born of Mary, people saw it. But when they saw it, they were unable to comprehend it. And that is why an air of mystery surrounded the life of our Savior his whole life long. Now think, when the water was turned to wine, you look at that wine, and it was not natural at all. It was a miracle. But you look at it, and it looked like other wine. It tasted better than all other wine, because you saved the good wine to last. But you looked at it, and it was a miracle, and yet you couldn't look at it and see that it was a miracle. You just saw wine. And here our Savior is held in the arms of Simeon, and he looks upon him, and he sees nothing but a child. But he's looking at a miracle. He doesn't look like a miracle. The only time he ever looked like a miracle was when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and when his face and his clothing shine above the brightness of the sun. That's when Jesus looked like a miracle. That's what we would expect of him. And that is what you see so many times in the scene of the Nativity. You see a little baby in a manger, and you see this glow coming from his face and his head. And then some go further, and they put a halo around Joseph and Mary. You see that God never had it look there that way. He was born an infant, and then from the time that he came into the world, he was the God-man, but no one ever knew it. No one ever knew, looking at him, until it was revealed to them that he was the God-man. Let me show you. Our Savior was introduced to Nathanael in John chapter 1. And the Lord Jesus said to Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no God." And Nathanael had said this about Jesus before, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And he's talking to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "An Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael says to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And immediately Nathanael said, "Master, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." But please note, he was looking at a miracle. He was looking at God manifest in the flesh. And he had wondered, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And when he saw that which came out of Nazareth, he said, "How do you know me?" Nothing impressed at all. But when our Savior opened his mouth and manifested that he had omniscience, then he understood who he was. So all the days of our Savior's life, when he walked on earth, people were beholding a miracle, but they never knew he was a miracle until he said something or until he did something. Now, all the other prophets in the Old Testament, when they performed miracles, that did not prove that they were a miracle, but they had the power from God to perform miracles. But when Jesus performed a miracle, he said, "These miracles that I perform confirm who I am. If you do not believe me, believe the works that I do, that you may know that God has sent me." And so here is our Savior, and he is a miracle. But people looking upon him are so certain, and correctly certain, that he is a man, that they say concerning him, "You blaspheme." And he said, "Why do you say I blaspheme?" And they said, "Because you, being a man, make yourself God." You see, they looked at him, and they knew he was a man. And they said, "You are nothing but a man." But Jesus, being a man, did not make himself God. But Jesus, being a man, was God who was made man. The Word, who was with God and was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. But just as every miracle that Christ performed, you looked at it, and it was a miracle, and if you had Bartimaeus, after his eyes had been opened by Christ, and you had another man that had been born able to see, you look at them, and you would not know one from the other, unless you had known that Jesus performed that miracle. And then when you knew that he had been born blind, as the man in John 9 was born blind, then you knew a miracle had been performed. And so it was in the life of Christ. He could walk among men, and Jesus never had to convince men that he was a man. You'll find that later on, some of the followers of Christ denied that he was a man. And you have to go to the scripture and show that he was a man. And I showed you, and never forget those three scriptures, in John chapter 8, when Jesus said, "A man that has told you all the truth." Jesus said, "I am a man." But at the same time, do not forget that at the end of the chapter, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He said, "I'm God. I am the Eternal One." And this is the double miracle that is inconceivable. How can one at the same time be man and be eternal? Being eternal, in the beginning was the Word. He had no beginning. But listen, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, we talk about the millennium that's coming up. A millennium from what beginning? You say, why? The birth of Christ, by course. And so, if it's been 2,000 years taking things as we know them, if it's been 2,000 years since Jesus was born, then he's a man. But at the same time, it says in Micah chapter 5, concerning this one that is going to be born, it says, "His going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting." So here is the Eternal One. And that is why Jesus is a miracle the way no other man was a miracle. Yes, Adam, Isaac, all of those were miracles, but not in the way that Jesus Christ was a miracle. When Adam was brought into existence, that was the only beginning that he had. He had a beginning and he had an end. He lived 930 years and he died. But our Savior had both a beginning and he was without beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Lord Jesus had a beginning. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And Jesus had an end. Jesus died. You are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? They knew that he was less than 50. Our Savior lived to be about 33 years of age. Jesus had a beginning and he had an ending. The days of his flesh were numbered because after our Savior died and rose from the dead, he said, "When I was with you, do you not remember that I told you these things when I was with you?" When he was with them, talking to them. But he speaks about his humanity. He had a beginning and he had an end, but at the same time, Jesus is the Eternal One. And so this is why, having been teaching you about Jesus the miracle worker, I teach you also that Jesus himself is a miracle. That is why our Savior said, "We Jews worship that which we know." But at the same time, the wise men came, and they fell down before him, and they worshiped him. And God says that all the angels of God worship him, because Jesus is a miracle. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, did not Pilate ask, "Where do you come from?" Did not people that were confounded say to Jesus, "Who are you? What manner of man is this?" Now, Father, mystery surrounded him because our Savior was a miracle. The miracle that you sent from heaven. I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. We thank you, our God. But we are thankful that men were able to look upon Him, hold this miracle in their arms, and see nothing special in Him. But our Father, now, if we lift our eyes to heaven, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, and we see every created being in heaven worshiping Him, ascribing honor and glory to Him. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior, and miracle. Amen.